The summers of southwestern Ontario are so hot that the sun bakes crusts of pottery over the clay fields, with cracks so deep that a big man can shove his fingers into the earth and pull them out clean. In the late summer, the loud hum of cicadas fills the air, the big beetles calling their song of sex and death, leaving no place silent. The flatland between Lake Ontario, Lake Huron, Lake St. Clair, the Detroit River, and Lake Erie is a land of mirages, of shimmering roads and fields. In summers and winters, storms brew on the lakes and move inland to pound the countryside. Some are as bad as hurricanes. The great storm of 1913 lasted 5 days. It sank most of the Great Lakes fleet, killed 250 sailors, and created thousands of widows and orphans before burying the countryside under 2 meters of snow. Every few years, cyclones form on the big lakes, spawning tornadoes that sweep through farms and towns, leaving long streaks of damage as though some great finger has come down from the sky and smeared a line across the land. Just after Labor Day of 1921, Canada was near the end of the economic depression that struck as the country struggled with a flu pandemic and the return of 500,000 Canadian soldiers from wartime service. A 16-year-old boy wandered the concessions and side roads of Middlesex, Perth, Oxford, and Huron counties, traipsing along dirt roads in the late summer heat. He saw men, women, and kids take off second hay crops and the fall wheat harvest as he shuffled past farms offering fresh eggs but no Sunday sales. This is good land, some of the best in Canada, but these farmers were poor. Most of the people living along these dirt roads were first or second generation Irish immigrants, or newcomers from England who had come to Canada in the 2 decades before the war. The farmers and their sons had been the first to sign up in 1914. Most of the families on these back roads had lost a father or son or cousin in Flanders, and all the men who came back were damaged in some way. Who was this gangly, handsome young man who made way when the farm carts came down the roads, and who watched as the few trucks generated little comets of dust as they moved over the pitted dirt side roads? It was Clement George McCullough, traveling subscription seller for the Toronto Globe. He did a lot of walking. In most places in that part of the country, each concession road is a mile apart. Each side road, running at right angles to the concession roads on the old grid of rural Ontario, is also a mile from the next one. The roads frame a section of 640 acres. A typical farm was about 100 acres, although some were as small as 50, especially if the soil was good. That still made only 6 or 7 farms on each square. His job was to go from house to house to house, trying to convince people to part with their money for a subscription to Canada's second best newspaper. The Globe was Canada's great liberal paper, solid and drab, as dry as the liquor prohibition tracts and church news that it ran on its editorial pages. There was no scandal or sin in its news columns, no racetrack results for gamblers, and, except for its wars on booze and vice, no great crusades like those pushed by its better-selling rival, the Montreal Star. The Globe was liberal in the politics of its times, but it was not liberal as we know liberalism now. Trade unions got no ink in its pages, except for criticism. Most social justice causes were left to the upstart Toronto Star, a paper that was scrambling to survive. Liberalism in 1921 was about the right of farmers and industrialists to do their work under the tutelage of market forces. That included the right to trade with anyone they liked, free of interference. In the first years of that century, liberals and liberals supported free trade with the United States and wide open immigration of white people to open the prairies to farming and as a market for Ontario manufacturers. Quite often they were just lukewarm in their support of British imperialism, though saying so was political heresy bordering on treason.